If you would, and we're going to turn into Psalm 24, familiar psalm. In conclusion, in our stewardship of tithing series, Psalm 24, and you say, preacher, I don't see anywhere where giving or tithing is located in that verse. Psalm 24, and we're going to read verse number 1. And this will conclude our stewardship of tithing series. And I do trust that you have grasped some things from this and some things have been a blessing to you and encouragement. Psalm 24, we're going to read the first verse together. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Psalm 24, 1. If you don't have a Bible, it should be one in front of you. Psalm 24 and verse number 1. By the way, I saw Reva in here. Was Reva still here? She is. Hey, there she is. Amen. It was a blessing seeing Reva and Andrea and Alec last week up in Phoenix as I was preaching. They happened to be at the services there, and it's great to see familiar faces. You know, of course, my wife is going to be there in support of me and my children, but then to have them come up was an added blessing at the church up there, and I could say these are my church members from my church, and a blessing to point those three out last week. Amen. That was an encouragement to my heart. Appreciate you guys making the journey to come. How long of a drive was it? What, 15, 20 minutes? At least 20. They sacrificed 20 to 30 minutes for their pastor. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Then they came early on top of that at the 9 o'clock service. Amen. So appreciate them being there. Psalm 24, verse 1. Let's read that together. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We mentioned this before with Psalm 24, and that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof is the Lord's, the world and they that dwell therein. And we talk about stewardship and tithing. The earth belongs to him, the fullness, everything else. And we know the tithe belongs to him as well. We mentioned this as well, but not just the tithe belongs to him. Our cares, our concerns, our worries, our pains, our troubles, our sorrows, all the things that you can think about carrying around in this thing we call a body, the Lord wants that as well. Oftentimes we think of stewardship, we just, oh, God, just take my money. No, God wants you, and God loves you, and God cares about you. And so oftentimes we get caught up with the money aspect of it, but, you know, without you, there is no money. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, money just doesn't float out in space. Money is on people and with people, and people possess that. And God wants to be your possessor as he has created you. He also wants to be your father, your counselor, your comforter. He wants to provide everything. And just out of the sheer gratitude and love for what he's done for us, we give back to him. And we give back to him out of an attitude of love and not law. And I'm so thankful that I can give to God from love and not law. Makes a big difference. Big difference. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Mrs. Dawson is going to come up and sing after the prayer. And right after that, there's going to be a short video presentation of the pros and cons of giving. Father, bless now in the next moments that we have together as we conclude this study about our tithing and, Lord, our stewardship. And God, all the blessings that you've given to us, I don't speak for anyone else, but, Lord, I can speak for myself, my family. Lord, I would be a fool not to give back to you based upon what you've given to me. You've been so good to me, and you've blessed me so. And I pray that this morning as we look into the Word of God and get more encouragement about what dividends we get in return for tithing, Lord, they far outweigh anything that we could possibly give to you. Lord, you give so much in return. Thank you for eternal life that you've given through Jesus Christ. First and foremost, then the security of knowing that heaven is our home. And then knowing that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, you said you'd be with us through the valley of the shadow of death. There you were. And so, Lord, as we go through the different stages of life and the periods of life, and as we contemplate our stewardship to Almighty God and this thing called tithing and giving, God, help us to be just so aware that what we give to you, you give us so much more in return. Bless now the message this morning. Lord, anoint hearts, anoint minds, and help us be ready to receive the word of God. It may sink into our hearts. And then, Holy Spirit, you come. And, Lord, you guide in the hearts and put the compassion where it needs to be and the conviction where it needs to be and then the conversion where it also needs to be, that we can leave here differently than when we came in. Saying it's been good to be in the house of God. It's been good to hear the word of God. And there are some things that I need to do for my God in heaven. Speak to every heart, every mind, every life this morning, from the youngest to the oldest, that we may sense your presence here and understand your passion and your power and what you want to do with your people. I bless now the song that will be sang and more than the video that will come thereafter, but most of all, the message of the word of God. And we thank you and love you for giving to us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson is going to sing for us. Skit. I was on the conservative side of not giving, but now I'm on the positive side of just pouring out my abilities and stewardship to God, letting God bless. And God has always been just a continual provider in my life, and I trust in your life as well. In the area of stewardship of the tithe, I want to set some principles down first as we conclude. We've covered much ground and much area already. But I want us to consider a couple of things. We looked at Psalm 24 and verse number 1, but I want you to consider a couple other scripture passages as we consider this topic of stewardship, of tithing. Go to Psalm 100, if you would. Because Psalm 24, we saw the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof is the Lord's, the world is the Lord's, and they that dwell therein. So everything that is in the world is God's and belongs to him, which would include us. In Psalm 100, one of the great psalms of the Bible, And notice what it says there in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. You know, part of stewardship is knowing that God is God. Amen. And because he's God, God can do what it is that he wants to do. Did you know that God could take his tithe from us? Do you know that God could take what he wants from us? He's sovereign. He can do that. And this scripture says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Notice this. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. The psalmist is clear to point out to us that we didn't make ourselves. God made us. Amen. You say, preacher, that's profound. Yes, it is. Because sometimes we think we're self-made. Amen. Y'all can amen. It's true. Sometimes we think that way. It says, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We belong to God. You hear people say, I'm my own man or I'm my own woman. I'm a self-made woman. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. No, you're not. And the sheep of his pasture. So verse 3 lets us know that he is God. He hath made us. We're not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now turn over with me to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So just establishing who we are before Almighty God. God has made us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul asks a question here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it starts out with a question. What? One word. In other words, Paul is speaking in such a way as to say, you mean to tell me you don't know this? Notice what it says there, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have of God, and you're not your own. Paul said, you know, saved Christian, that what you possess in you belongs to God. It's called the Holy Spirit of God, and he owns you, and you're not your own. You cannot do with yourself what you want to do. He says, What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Now, how many of you would buy something and not expect ownership of what you bought? Amen. Unless it's a gift. Unless it's a gift. But if you bought something for your own personal usage, you want to use that the way you intend it to be used. For ye are bought with a price. Know what bought you and I? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. You say, preacher, why? For your sins and my sins. Why? We had no way of paying our sin debt. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. God, knowing that, sent Jesus Christ to the cross for you, for me, and paid that penalty of death. Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose the third day. To secure your salvation and mine. So the only thing that we have to do now is trust in Jesus and his death, his burial, his resurrection. Repent of sin. That means turn from sin and turn to God. And receive new life in him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once we get saved, it says you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. One of the things that is possessed in our body is our wealth. And God would want us to do that which is right with our wealth. Go to Romans chapter number 8 with me. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Verse 31 says it best. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good question, isn't it? If God is on my side, who can be my enemy? If God is sovereign, which he is. If God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, which he is. If there's no weapon formed that can stand against him, guess what? Who can be against me? What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Notice verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He said, now, if God didn't spare his best possession, his best person, his best prospect, if he didn't spare that, and guess what? That was for you. And me. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for who? Us. Us who? Us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
So in other words, Paul is saying here, if God didn't spare heaven's best for all of us, wouldn't he, along with giving us heaven's best, give us everything else? What am I saying? When it comes to the matter of stewardship, if God was willing to give up heaven's best for you and I, and he's not going to spare anything else that we need, shouldn't we be willing to at least give back to him? Just in gratitude of what he's done for us. Just because of who he is. He spared not heaven's best for you, for me. And he's going to give us everything else. He says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God's going to freely give us what we have need of. I said all that to say this. Our giving, whether it's a tithe or an offering, should be done from a heart of gratitude and love. Because we love God. God is not going to mandate to you that give or else, although you won't be blessed. So he can mandate it that way. Amen. Give or else you won't be blessed. You know, folks say, oh, I won't be blessed. No blessings. Can you imagine a life without blessings? A life without God's grace and God's goodness. Say, preacher, what's a blessing? Breath. You know, God didn't owe you that one that you just took. Eyesight, God didn't owe you your eyesight. Your limbs, God didn't owe you that. That's grace. That's a blessing. Your tongue, your lips, that's a blessing. Hair is a blessing. Some of us don't have none. Amen. Mine's left me when I was 17 years old. Those are blessings. He said, if he spared not heaven's best, is he not going to freely give us all things? Explain it to you this way. It's done out of love and not law. When the day came, January the 14th, 1984, I married this precious lady right here. When I married her, I began to give to her. And I didn't give to her because I signed a contract and said, the law says she's my wife, and so now you must give to her. I gave to her because I love her. Do I have a law? Yes, I do have a law that says I'm married. Does that law mandate me give to her? Yes, it does. But guess what? I made a vow before God, till death do we part. Amen. All my worldly wealth is yours. Everything that I have is yours. Everything that I give is yours. It's yours. It's yours. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Some of us like to change that. What's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. And so I began to give out of love. 20 years later, God gave us a young boy named G2. Amen. And the law states that I need to take care of this young man. By law, it says that. Yes, sir. And if I don't take care of this young man, by law, the law could get me in big trouble. But I don't give to him because the law says I have to. I give to him because I love him. Amen. I give to him because I love him. Preacher, what are you saying? The same way I give by love to this precious jewel here, and the same way I give by law to this precious young man here, I'm thankful to God that he gave me a wife, and so I'm going to give to her. I'm thankful to God that he gave me a son, so I'm going to give to him. I'm thankful to God that he gave me heaven's best, Jesus Christ, his son, to be my Savior. And so in gratitude and in love to him, not by law, I'm going to give back to him. Amen. Just because I was on my way to hell. I was on a one-way ticket going down until Christ in his mercy stepped in and he saved me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I wanted to see that kingdom because I was headed for another kingdom. By the way, so were you before you got saved. You were headed for a place called hell. But God in his mercy and his grace said, I don't want anybody to go there. The Bible is clear about that. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all men to be saved. And those that get saved with a heart of gratitude, they can turn back to an almighty God and say, God, because you saved me, because you love me, I love you, and let me show you one way is by giving. When we love someone, we give. We give. That's what we do. And so all this area about stewardship can be summed up into one word. Love. Love. In the Old Testament, it wasn't about love. It was about law. The New Testament, Jesus said, you know, I'm coming to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm coming to save you. I'm coming to give heaven's best for you. And I want you to give based upon your love. Some give more, some give less. Who much is given, much should be required. Jesus said, the man that's forgiven more is going to love more. The man that's forgiven less is going to love less. So your love level, my love level is going to vary, but our giving should be consistent. We should give because we love God. Let's reflect on some things that we've discussed already. First thing we looked at was the dilemma or difficulties prior to tithing. And we saw why some people don't want to tithe, and you heard some of those reasons just a few minutes ago. Then we saw the definition of the tithe. By the way, when a person gets saved, they ought to begin tithing right away. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Did you get saved right away? Yes, you did. So when should you start giving back to God? Right away. You say, preacher, I haven't had a class on that. Did you have a class on getting saved? I didn't go through the study books on giving. Did God go through a study book when he gave Jesus to you? Come on now. We like to look at this area of giving and saying, well, I need to understand it first. The only thing you understood was you're on your way to hell, and God stepped down, intervened, and said, you know what? I'm giving to get you out of prison called hell. And you're saved now. And so should we go back and say, well, God, I haven't had a study manual on giving yet? Well, he could put us back in hell and say, well, let me finish my study manual too. Aren't you glad that he doesn't do that? What is that? The grace of God. And it baffles me how people like myself can get saved with God's salvation and then give a quarter and think he did something. Thank you, Jeff. Lord, help us. My wife was saying, honey, shouldn't we tithe? And I was like, shouldn't you leave me alone? Aren't we supposed to be giving 10%? 10%. I'm having a hard problem giving 20 cents. Got to live. We didn't have no kids. They called me over in Belgium. The Dutch called us a dinky. Stands for double income and no kids. They said, you a dinky. You should have money. And I had the attitude, what's mine is mine. And what's mine is mine. And nobody else's. So perish the thought of giving. Then God got a hold of my heart and said, you stingy rascal. Didn't I give you 100% of your salvation? Didn't I give you 100% of heaven? Didn't I give you a mansion already waiting for you? Didn't I cleanse your sins? Don't I forgive you every time you ask? Didn't I give you blessings? Didn't I? And guess what? The more he said didn't I, I got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And I just felt downright bad at the ratio of what God was giving to me and what I was giving to God. And he was only asking 10%. And so when you look at the definition of tithe, in gratitude and love for what God has done for us, we ought to give back to God. The definition of the tithe is 1/10 of your gross. Every time you get an increase in your gross, you ought to tithe. I've said it once, I'll say it again. If you don't give off your gross, that is gross. Amen. Definition of tithe is $1 out of 10 or 1 penny out of 10 or however you want to put it. But whatever you gross, not whatever's left after everybody else gets theirs, including Uncle Sam. Move the decimal point back one place and you'll have what the 10th is of your increase. And every Christian that has an increase of income should tithe off of the gross. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. The tithe is often a good spiritual indicator of a Christian's walk with God. Amen. You show me a disgruntled Christian, I'll show you a Christian that's probably not giving. Amen. Amen. Why? They stopped coming to church. And where's giving done at? At church. Very few are going to actually send their tithe. Their tithe is going to stay with them. Now, you have exceptions, but there are very few. So we saw the dilemmas and difficulties of the tithe. We saw the definition of the tithe. So the defense of the tithe, and we saw that the tithe shouldn't need to be defended, but we defended it just the same. And we saw that tithing was practiced before the law. Adam and Eve were taught the principle of tithing before the law. In the Garden of Eden, we saw that Abraham tithed before the law by principle. We saw Jacob tithed before the law by principle, all in the Old Testament before the law. Because everybody wants to say, well, it's the law. There was no law. Adam and Eve didn't have any law. You know what they had? A command. Don't touch the tree. Don't eat of the tree. And God said, that one tree is mine. You know what God said later in the law? That tithe is mine. Why? Because you're mine and everything is mine. And I've mandated that you don't eat of that tree. And so by principle, he taught Adam and Eve. By principle, tithing was taught to Abraham and to Jacob. And then tithing was practiced during the law, according to Malachi 3:10, which we'll look at here in just a little bit. Then tithing was practiced after the law. You find Jesus in the New Testament approving of the tithe. He said, you ought to have done that and not left the other undone. And so we saw the defense of the tithe. Then we saw the duty of the tithe. We saw it was for the maintenance of our church. It was for the ministry of our church. It was for the ministers of our church and for the mission of our church. And the difference that we noticed there is that the ministry and the ministers and the maintenance are all located in the Old Testament. And so are they located in the New Testament, the maintenance, the ministry, and the ministers. The one exception was that the mission of the church, which is to plant churches and to send missionaries, is not listed in the Old Testament. And so although the Old Testament had their tithes and their offerings, they did not have an offering equivalent to the missions offering because they were never sent. But we have that mandate to send people around the world. The Old Testament never had that. So that was never an Old Testament mandate. So we cannot use any of the offerings in the Old Testament and say this is a New Testament offering to missions because it's not there, didn't exist. It wasn't a prerequisite. But it is now. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. You know, have you ever sent anybody anywhere to get anything? You know, it costs money. It costs gas money. It costs some labor. My mother couldn't wait till I got my driver's license so she could send me to the store. And you know what? She made me pay for the gas. And she sent me to the store. Every time I put gas money in the car, and I thought, you know, that's my gas money. And that's for me. But guess whose car it was? Guess who paid the insurance? Guess whose garage it was? Guess who paid all the bills? I just did the driving. I put my little $5 in there, and then I got mad my mother tried to drive the car. Mama, I just put $5 in there. You just drove it out. Not to mention she drove me to basketball, football practice, and all these. Not going to mention all that, and she never threw that back up in my face. She just said, boy, if you don't be quiet. And I thought, I think I best be quiet because I won't have a car, and this will be my car. And as a 16-year-old, you don't want to walk when you can drive. And so that mission was put on the New Testament church. And so we looked at those differences. And so today we come up to the last point, and that is the dividends of the tithe. And that's the best part for me. What do we get when we tithe? Amen. I like that. What do I get when I tithe? Amen. You know, it's just like, well, what do I get when I go to the store? What do I get when I put my money in a bank? I get some dividends back. Amen. The more you put in, the more you get back. Amen. If you put little in, expect little back. Yes, sir, Pastor. Can I get amen? Amen. Now, I won't embarrass Brother Bruner. I can tell Bruner's put a lot in because he's getting two paychecks and he didn't even start working yet. They're giving him two paychecks and he hadn't even started working yet. Now, what job have you gone to lately that gave you two paychecks before you did one day of work? I can tell that young man put something in the bank. Now, I'm talking about the bank down here. I'm talking about Heaven's Bank. I'm talking about a man who trusted God and gave when he couldn't see his future, when he didn't know what was going to happen, when he didn't know if he's going to have a job. He said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out by faith. I'm going to give, and I'm going to give cheerfully. And God blessed that young man. Not only did he give him a job, gave him a good job too. And paid him before he started working. That's how God blesses. God says, hey, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall, who shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet with others, it'll be measured to you again. In other words, the way you give is the way you're going to get. So let's look at some things about the dividends of the tithe. And one thing I've noticed that once a person actually gets it and gets faithful, they never stop. Once they really, I'm talking about when they get it here. And when they get it, once they get it, they don't stop. Others kind of get it here or here. And at some time when the storms come and the dark clouds roll, then they fall off the wagon, then they get back on. But the ones that get it here and here, they never stop. I don't care what storm comes. I don't care if it's a hail storm or a wind storm or whatever. Guess what? I'm going to give. Why? I've trusted God. I've proven God. God's been faithful. He's given me heaven. He saved me from hell. I love him. What more could I do? I'm just going to be faithful. And they watch God. And God blesses time and time again. Those that tithe faithfully, I'm sure you can give testimony after testimony after testimony how God blessed your life. I can do the same thing. Well, let's look at a few things here. Go over to Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi, this is in the Old Testament. But the principle is still applicable to the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3. You got the book of Matthew. It is right before Matthew, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. We'll look at some basic principles here of the dividends of the tithe. We've seen the defense of it. We've seen the dilemmas, the difficulties of it. We've seen the duty of it. All those things are true, but this last point is the main point of the dividends. Why should I tithe? What do I get out of it? Well, you get God's blessing, number one. God's already given us, now he wants us to give back out of that which he has given to us, and then he turns around and gives back to us again. You can't beat that. You can't. Come here for a second, G2. So I'm going to give to G2 a quarter, okay? And so now I want you to give me back tithe of that. Put it here. Just anything will do. Okay, so he gives me that. And guess what? I give back to him again. Why? I see his hands empty, so I give him something. All right, you give to God again. He's getting smarter. He's keeping something back for himself now. Amen? Then God gives him something. God says, okay, you give. Give back again. And then we give some more. And then he gets some more. He's keeping some out for himself that time. And he gives him some more. You know, and that's the way it is with God. God says, now I'm going to give you a job. And with your job, you're going to get an income. And with your income, I'm giving you that income. Now I expect you to give a portion of that back to me. He gives a portion back, and God just comes back and gives again. He gives again. He gives again. Why? Never have we seen God's seed begging bread, the Bible says. That's a principle of God. Amen. Thank you, G2. Notice what it says down here. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse in verse number 10. And we're going to pick this apart. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. First of all, I want to notice the practice of the tithe. Because a few principles about God's program for his local church. God blesses individually as well as corporately. What do I mean? He blesses you as an individual person, but then corporately he blesses the church when the church is faithful in its tithes and offerings. Not only are those blessings physical, but they're also spiritual as well. They're not always tangible, what you can see, but they're always, always blessings. The practice of the tithe. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And so in order to get the dividends of the tithe, it's our job to bring what belongs to God. He's not going to take it from you. Amen. He wants you to give it. By the way, the only way you're going to get something out of the bank is by putting something in the bank. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't look for any interest out of the bank if you hadn't put anything in the bank. Amen. You put some money in the bank and then you get a dividend back on your statement. It's called a dividend. You say, well, preacher, it wasn't a whole lot. It's more than what you had before. Amen. Any dividend that you get back is more than what you had before. Amen. And so the practice of the tithe, he said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. He says, it's your job to bring it. It's not my job to take it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
When it came down to God's tithe, he said, I'm leaving it up to you to bring it, but you better bring it. The practice of it. You and I have got to come to the place where we understand God is not in the market for taking your tithe from you. He told them, bring it. Amen. By the way, you hear challenges every Sunday here, and it's to make you aware that God wants you to bring it. God doesn't want to have to take it from you. How many of you have had to take something from your kid? That can be a challenge, can't it, sometimes? They fall on the ground, they kick and spit and spin and sputter. They ball up their fist, you got to pry it open, amen. That's how it is with some people with tithe. I mean, God is just trying to get $10 out of the 100 that you got. Mine! No! And we fall on the ground, we're kicking, and no, mine! No! And you think, over $10? I mean, you broke nails, your hair fell out. You got your nylons all messed up. Now you got a hole in your trousers. You got your shoes all scuffed up. Now you got to spend more money getting fixed up than it took to give that little bit of money. We can do some crazy things at times, keeping what belongs to God. God said, bring it. I don't want to have to go through the trouble of beating you down to get it. Amen. By the way, God has ways of getting it. The practice of the tithe. This should be a regular and a consistent practice on our part. Bring or come with a tithe when you show up. The men challenge us every Sunday about giving as unto the Lord to show you that it's Bible and it should be done out of a heart of love and not law. Notice the provisions of the tithe, not just the practice, but the provisions. He says, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. God said, you know what? In this Old Testament economy, I want to make sure my ministers were provided for. By the way, things didn't change in the New Testament. Ministers still needed to be provided for. And so it is today as well. Notice how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You get a chance to get there, amen. If not, I'll read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He's talking to the church at Corinth about their support of him. And he says this in verse number 13 of chapter 9 in 1 Corinthians. He says, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we should reap your what? Carnal things. He said, if we're teaching you the word of God, are you so alarmed that we're asking for you to support us as we teach you the word of God? He says, if others be partakers of this power over you, if you give to somebody else, are not we rather? By the way, you don't give to the TV preacher. You give to the preacher that's feeding you the word of God at home. Now, if you want to give that TV preacher something, that's on you. Amen. You can give that outside, but don't give him your tithe. Don't give him your missions. You don't give him your offerings. You give him other stuff. Now, I'm all for supporting the Red Cross and the Boys Club and all these other things. The Boys Club still should be the Boys Club, not the Girls Club. But anyway, that's another thing. There's a lot of good agencies out there you can support, but not with your tithes and your offerings and your missions that belong to God. Some of those are well worth it. Some of them are well worth it. They do a good job, morally speaking. But we're talking about spiritual. When it comes to the spiritual feeding of the Word of God, your tithes and your offerings and things for mission belongs right here. Paul said, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul said, you know what? We really have a right to get that, but we're not going to even bother with it. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a hindrance. That's why you'll never hear in this church us say, you better give your money or else. You never find us taking you up and saying, well, look right here. You haven't given in over 6 weeks. You're a delinquent, buddy. Your bill's overdue. You haven't given since 2014. What's wrong with you? We don't do that. That's between you and God. If you want the blessings of God, guess what? Bring you all the tithe to the storehouse. Amen. We don't have a storehouse, but we do have a church. Amen. We don't have the Old Testament priest, but we do have a pastor. Amen. We don't have these servants, but we have New Testament servants. And the ministry and the principle is still the same. You get paid for your job, don't you? Then the ministers need to get paid as well. You have supplies at your job, right? The church has supplies as well. And that's what goes on here. And so the practice of the tithe, the provision of the tithe, he said, there may be meat in mine house. He said, I want to make sure that in my house it's taken care of. Notice the proving of the tithe. He said this down there. Go back to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi 3 and verse number 10, the proving of the tithe. He says down there, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. God wants to prove us to prove, test, or try him. If he will do what he said he would do. G2, come up here again. So in other words, this is what God is saying. God has said, now you bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's going to be meat in mine house. And he says, you prove me. If you bring the tithe in the storehouse, put it in here, G. Prove me now herewith. You know what he's saying? Prove me right now here with what you have. That's what he's saying. prove to me now here with what you have by putting it in here if I won't give you some more back. Y'all with me? Okay. So G2's got to prove me now. I'm going to give to him. Now I'm saying, okay, G2, prove me. You give your tithe and prove me if I'm going to give you back. Prove me again. Every time he gets an increase, what should he do? Every time he gets an increase, what should he do? First fruits. Every time he gets an increase, he should give. God is saying, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse that it may be meet in mine house and prove me. I'm God. See if I don't give to you more than you could ever think you could give to me. And every time you prove me and give to me, I'm going to give you something back. That's exactly what God is saying. He said, Israel, I want you to prove me. See if I, God, won't do what I said I'd do. You know what a lot of people do? The offering tray comes by, they give God a quarter, and they look like this. Now, wait a minute. The equivalent to that is there being 10 socks over there. And I say, G2, pick up the 10 socks. And G2 picks up one. Should I thank him for that? But he picked up one sock. How many more has he got to pick up? He picks up five. Should I thank him for that? How many did I ask him to pick up? 10. What is God asking us? 10. And so if I give, he said, prove me now with what you give me if I won't give back to you. Give back. And put it back in there. So notice what the practice is to bring it. The provisions, he said, I won't meet in mine house. The proving, he says, prove me now herewith, or prove me now here with what you have. If you give to me, make me into a liar. God cannot lie. He said, prove me now, he would say to the Lord of hosts, and see if I won't do what I said I'll do. The proving of the tithe. God wants us to prove, test, or try him. Up on the screen, it said they wanted a contract. We don't deal with contracts. We deal with faith. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall sign a contract shall be saved. No, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No contract going to keep you out of hell. No contract is going to put you in heaven. Guess what? It's already been sealed and written in blood. Jesus Christ sealed it in his blood. That's the contract. That's not being broken. We just put faith in the contract that God's got with Jesus. You pay for the sins, you die, and everybody comes to you, it's on your account. Amen. Prove him or test him with the tithe. Just be sure you're consistent if you want to be. Now, G2 picks up 10. I bless him. What about if he's very inconsistent? He always only picks up one. What am I going to be as far as blessing him? Inconsistent. Why? He's inconsistent. Some people think that they want God to be consistent in their blessings, but they're not consistent in tithing. Last year's one of the worst years we had financially. That tells me that somebody wasn't consistent. Preacher, no. But I'm glad God still is on the throne. And I'm glad God's church still is going. And I'm glad the giving is right back on track again. I'm glad of that. Amen. But somebody somewhere along the line didn't do what they said they were going to do. Notice the proving of the tithe, but then notice the promise of the tithe. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, the promise God gives is that he will open the windows of heaven for you and for me. Open means to unstop. How many of y'all ever had a stopped up drain? Doesn't that bother you? I mean, the stuff is going down slow. I mean, you got gook and hair and grease and grime and filth. And I mean, it's just disgusting. Got scum around the thing. But you know, when you get it unstopped, man, that's one of the greatest feelings. Like, there it goes. Amen. It's almost like being constipated. Don't you hate that? But when you take some medicine and, man, that constipation goes away, you're like, whoa, relief. Yes. Some of y'all are financially constipated. You are not giving anything, and you're wanting to get some more in. Don't put no more in, because that's not going anywhere. God's not going to put any more in. You need to unstop the drain. You need to go and get you some plunger or some Drano or some whatever it is. Put it in the drain. Get that thing unstopped. Start giving. Let it go down. He said, I will pour you out the window. I'll unstop heaven. Some of you got heaven stopped up for some of y'all. Some of y'all, it's stopped up. And you need to unstop. Why? You're not proving God. You got to prove him. Can you see heaven? But yet and still you got saved. Can you see hell? Yet and still you got saved. Why? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith you put your trust in Christ. Guess what? Your tithing is the same way. You got to trust God at his word by faith. He said, if you do this, I'll do that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse, that it may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, he would say to the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. He said, you act upon what I've given you and see if I don't bless you on this side. That's why we get saved. We say, look, this side is going down to hell. I don't want that side. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of God's blessings are by his grace through our faith. And that's how you access this. He said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven. I'm going to unstop heaven. I'm going to unstop the windows and pour it out. Notice the plentifulness of the time. And pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The word pour means to empty out. Empty out. Jesus, come up here again. So the proving of the tithe, he says, prove me now, here would say the Lord. The promise is, I will not open you the windows of heaven. The plentifulness, he says, and pour you out a blessing. So God says, in other words, now, I must admit, in my life, God has done that to me. God has poured out money. He's poured out blessings, physical and spiritual, and blessed me. And I just said, Lord, I'm so unworthy. God, I don't deserve this. God said, but I told you that this is what I do. If you did what I asked you to do, I told you I'd do this. If you do this, I said, I'd do this. And some of you are missing out on that blessing. You want it. You're looking for it. You even got money going into the wishing well. I wish I got some money. Bling, you throw a nickel in there. And what'd you get back in return? You lost a nickel. You lost a nickel. Lord, I wish I was. When I was a kid, I used to always do that. Lord, I wish I'm a millionaire. Not the, I wonder how much money I throw there. If I'd have kept all that money, I might have been a millionaire. Yeah. I see some coins in there. They say, what's that, a wishing well? Oh, I wish. Daddy, can you give me a quarter? Give me no quarter throw in there. Well, I'm trying to get some money. Well, God says if you just give to him the tithe in the storehouse, he's going to give back to you. The plentifulness of the tithe. There should not be room enough to receive it. But then notice the power of the tithe. He says, bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse, that may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts. Now I open you the windows of heaven, and I'm going to reward you afterwards, Gregory, my helper. Man, G2, we got the agreement. I want sweet stuff, Dad, sweet stuff. The power of the tithe, he says in verse number 10, I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that should not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for whose sake? For your sake. He says, not only am I going to pour out all this excess. Come here a minute, Gregory. I'm going to get somebody else up here, Gregory, getting tired. Come here, Terrell. Both of y'all come. So now Gregory's got all this pouring out money. And God says, you know, prove me now. If I'm going to open the windows of heaven, I'm going to. You're not going to be able to receive it. He's got it all. He got it. He says, and I'll rebuke the devourer. The devourer wants to get the money. So God says, I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to keep him at bay. He's not going to be able to get there. I'm going to stand between him. And no matter how close he tries to get, I'm going to keep him at bay. You're not going to touch it. He says, stop, no further. I'll rebuke the devourer. Hey, remember when it came to Pharaoh, what happened? God put a fire up and he said, look, you're not coming towards each other. It's going to be light for them. It's going to be dark for you. You're not coming any closer. When Daniel went in the lion's den, the devourer and the lion, he said, look, I'm not going to let that lion touch you. He said, God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire. They didn't even smell like fire when they came out. He said, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Amen. What am I saying? When God blesses and he pours out plenty, he said, I'm going to make sure you can keep it too. Right. Now, they were an agricultural society back then that dealt with crops and it dealt with insects and all sorts of famines and no rain, too much rain, sun, too much sun. There were a lot of different pestilence. There's a lot of things that can happen in your life, medical bills, dental bills. insurance, accidents, a lot of things that can happen. God said, you know what? I'll rebuke you. There's some accidents that should have happened in your life that God said, it's not going to happen. There's some things in your life that should have happened, and God said, because you tithe, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. It's not going to happen. There's some things that when you and I get to heaven and God shows us the whole picture, we'll probably fall down. We'll say, what? He said, right here, I protected you. Right there, I protected you. Right here, right here, right here. We're going to be like, my soul, why didn't I give more? Amen. I'll rebuke the devourer. The plentifulness that you have, I'll make sure that I protect it. It'll go further than you think. How in the world can Israel go in the desert for 40 years with one pair of shoes? Now, we tried that with G2. It didn't work. They got holes in them. But you know what? God said, I'll protect. I'll protect. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Y'all see me at the service, I'll pay y'all back. What am I saying? The power of the tithe. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, I will stop the destruction of what you have. Why? It's the power of the tithe. I will move God to hold back the devourer. Devourer means to eat up or consume. He said, I won't let it happen the way it normally would happen. What am I saying? God states his power could prevent the devourer from destroying the crops. By the way, if God stands in the way, who's going to stand against God? And so he says, I want you to prove me now, child of God. I want you to prove me with this time. I want you to see if I'll be plentiful to you. I want to see if I won't protect you. And the devourer won't be able to get to you. And as a result, God blessed Israel. Unfortunately, in chapter 3, in verse 8, they weren't getting blessed. They were being cursed because they had done the unthinkable. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And so ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The nation began to practice that collectively. And God said, all of you are going to be cursed. He said, I would have done this for you. If you would have just proved me, practiced it, the provisions would have been in the house of God. If you would have just proved me now herewith, saith the Lord, if you would have just took me up on my promise of the windows of heaven being open and got that plentifulness, there not be room enough to receive it, I would have got my power working, rebuked the devourer, but now you're in misery, you're in ruins, you're in destruction because you didn't do something as simple as bring ye all the tithe in the storehouse. Folks, it's not something magical. It's not something magnificent. It's not some big amount of money, unless you happen to be Ted Turner or Bill Gates. And you know what it still is? Even if you're Ted Turner or Bill Gates or Donald Trump, it's still 10%. It's still 10%. I don't care how you slice it, it's still 10%. The widow woman in the New Testament, she gave too much. She gave all her living, God said. She gave everything. Well, today we have devourers like those bills that we talked about. And oftentimes you and I will never know who the devourer is. The more you give, the more God gives back to you. In closing, turn to Luke chapter 6. See the New Testament update to this. The rest of verse 12 says, in Malachi, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. There was a guy that I used to work with, name was Jonathan Hunter. Had a nice Corvette. And man, he was nice dressed. He had he had it going on. I mean, slick guy. I mean, cut, athlete. And I made the mistake of asking him how he got all that stuff. And he said, my father in heaven gave me that. I didn't want to hear that. Because I didn't have a father in heaven giving me that. And I looked at that man. And he was always praising God, talking about how good God was. He drove a Corvette. I mean, it was sharp. But he gave all the glory to God. And I envied him. And I said, I don't have a God doing that for me. I did have a God doing some things for me. But he was called the God of this world. His name was Satan. And he was taking my life through misery and through ruins and wretchedness. Whilst my coworker had the God of heaven, he was happy as could be. I was as miserable as can be. It wasn't until after I got saved and understood what that principle about a father taking care of his son was all about. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. The process in tithing, God says, give. One word, give, comma, give. Give. I mean, you think about it, Luke 6, 38, give. And God just says, okay, give. You know what we say? God, you give to me first. God says, no, you give first. Didn't he already give? He already gave heaven's best. He gave Jesus Christ. He said, now I've already done my part. I've given the unthinkable. I've given what you couldn't even give. I've given a life that you could never even dream about living. I've given to you. Now just give. The process of tithing, God has given to us. Now we're to give in order to get something again. The production in tithing says, give and it shall be given unto you. God says, if you want to get, then give. Now, I'm not talking about these TV preachers again. I'm talking about giving to the local church. Yeah. By the way, the principle there is not just monetary. It's in everything. You want love? Give love. You want friendship? Give friendship. You want compassion? Give compassion. You want mercy? Give mercy. You want forgiveness? Give forgiveness. Whatever it is that you want, give it. Why? God says, give and it shall be given unto you. We complain, I don't have no friends. Well, it's probably because you're not friendly. I don't get any love. Maybe because you're not lovely, not giving any love. Nobody forgives me. Maybe because you haven't forgiven somebody else. This is a principle, folks. Give. Notice what he says. He says, the process of tithing, give. The production in tithing, he says, it should be given unto you. Tithing produces something. It produces you and I getting back in return. The proportion in tithing, he said, is going to be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't beat God's giving. He said, I'm going to press it down. Our garbage can at home gets full. You know what I do? I get it. I squeeze it down, pull it back out. We can put more trash in it. I get it again. I push it down. Amen. And let more trash go in it. Get it again. More trash. And then when it still gets full in there, you know what I do? I pull the bag out and set it over on the side. And we can still get more in there. God said, I'm going to give it good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm going to give to you until you bust. Most of us spend before that time anyway, though. Our bank is not going to be that full because we're going to spend it before too long. But he says, if you give, I'll give it to you. The proportion is going to be good measure, pressed down, shaken together. It's going to be running over. Shall, notice this, the people in tithing. Shall men give into your bosom. God still uses people to give through. He doesn't just drop money out of the sky and one day, oh, money hanging from the tree. No, it doesn't happen that way. My wife and I just got an email last week. One of the grant locations that we applied to came back and said, you get $1,000 for your children. That's $2,000. What do I attribute that to? God. And me being a cheerful giver. We got an email a couple months before that. You get another $1,000 over here. Another $1,000 off of grant money that, get this, somebody else gave to a foundation that may probably didn't even have kids but wanted to give back. And so they saw our name on the list, and they said, hey, look, there's a family that has applied for a grant, and so let's help them out. God says, he's a giver. I'll rebuke the devourer for his sake. I'll make sure that he's got plenty. I'll make sure he's a giver, and I'm going to give back to him. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give. God's got so many people prepared out there in this world that want to give to God's people, but we miss the blessing oftentimes because we don't do right by God. I'm convinced that God blessed this church with Lasco Foundation money because this church did right by God, both with tithes and offerings and missionaries. I'm convinced of that. You can't tell me what other way would we warrant a blessing like that? God always blesses. You can't outgive God. Shall men give into your bosom? For the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again. The word meet means to deal out or distribute. He said the same way you deal out or distribute with all, it's going to be measured to you again. The same way you give, God's going to give to you. God still uses people. I know Brother Steve Bruner, when he found out he was going to get two paychecks. Brother, I know you probably thought, what? Two paychecks? Lord, I don't deserve this. But you know what? He ain't giving it back either. I don't blame him. Why? God gave it to him. You know what God said? God said, I can trust you with some finances. And because I can trust you, I'm going to give you a little bit more. And he's confident that he's going to give out of that too. He's going to give back and he's going to keep giving. Why? He said, I proved God already. He's been faithful. I proved him. Hey, I proved him over and over again. And this comes from a stingy, tightwad, quarter-tipping person to Almighty God who gave him 100% of heaven, 100% forgiveness, 100% salvation. I'm tipping God with a little bit of money. Been there, done that. Been on that side, been on this side. It's good on this side. It's good on this side. Say, preacher, how'd you get on that side? I got saved. You know, if you're here today and you're not saved, one of the first things God wants from you is you. He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. Jesus Christ died for people. He didn't die for money. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God died, gave Jesus Christ death for people, not for money. Now, once I get saved, I should, out of love, not law, begin to give to God. I should. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved today. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. Because if he has you, he has your money. Christian, for you, be a consistent, regular, faithful giver. Out of your first fruits from your gross pay. Excuse me. Whenever God increases your pay, you give again. And you watch God bless you and pour out the windows of heaven to you. Watch what God does. If you're not born again, God doesn't want you to leave here today without knowing that he loves you. And he gave heaven's best for you. It was pricey. It was costly. It caused Christ his death. And he wants to save you today. And all across this room, if the thought comes to your mind and your heart, you say, I've been baptized, I've spoken in tongues, I've given money, I've done this, but preacher, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. God wants to give you assurance today. Why don't you let us take a Bible today and show you how you can be saved? It's not about how much money you give. It's about giving your life to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and being born again. God is not interested in how much money you have. He's interested in the life that you have. He wants to give you abundant life in Christ. But you've got to see that you need Jesus. You've got to see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you've got to see the same wages of those sins is death and hell. But you've got to also see the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you've got to believe in your heart that God raised from dead. And you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And guess what? If you call and ask to be saved, God will save you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Someone looking around. And just for a moment. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you're amongst people that love you and care about you. It's not about how much money you give. It's about what you do with Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of your life, God is not going to ask you how much money you gave. He's going to ask if you gave your life in exchange for Jesus Christ's life of righteousness. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let me ask this question. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, and you would say honestly before God, if I died right now, preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me today, Pastor? Pray for me at the end of your service. All you have to do is raise your hand up. I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You say, preacher, pray for me today. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I'll acknowledge you, and you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, don't be ashamed. Just honest before God. I just want to pray for you. I won't call you out. I won't pick you out. Just acknowledge you. You raise that hand. I see one hand. You may put it down. Thank you for your honesty. Is there another? You say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned, and I don't want to go there. Would you pray for me? Another one would join this one. Well, Christian, how about it? Are you consistent? Are you faithful? Are you regular? No matter what happens, no matter if you lose your job, no matter when hard times come and unexpected bills come, are you going to be faithful and consistent? I trust you will be. And I trust that you would come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, help me to be faithful no matter what happens. Help me to continue my faithfulness. No matter if it's an unemployment check, help me to be faithful in that. No matter if my pay takes a decrease, Lord, help me to be faithful. Because all God asks is that tithe at the outset. But he also said tithes and offerings. Christian, would you pray? Ask God to help you be faithful. Father, you see the hand that's been raised. And Lord, I pray you give clarity of thought to this individual. Give them a heart to want to respond to the gospel message that Jesus loves them He died for their sins and rose again the third day. Lord, I pray you would give this individual courage to come and ask someone would take them and take a Bible and show them how to be saved. For Christians, Lord, keep us faithful. Keep us faithfully given. Through the good times and through the bad times, out of our gross, those that have never tithed, Lord, help them to start tithing. Those that have been faithful and consistent tithers, help them to continue tithing. Or those that say, I want to prove God, help them. Keep us tithing. Help those tithe again that stopped. Some never start tithing. Lord, help them to start tithing now. And Lord, bless in their lives that soul that needs to be saved. Lord, give them the courage and the boldness to come forward and get it settled in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. It's going to be a hymn of invitation that's going to be played. Maybe God spoke in your heart this morning about the blessings of the dividends of tithing. You have never tithed. You say, I'm going to start. Or maybe you'd say, I started and fell off, and I'm going to start again. Or maybe you'd say, Lord, just keep me consistent. Keep me faithful. And God will bless in your life. Maybe you need to come and pray that prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, bless now these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, you come. Has God spoken in your heart? Maybe you raise your hand saying that you need to be saved. Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? You're amongst people that love you and care for you. We too stood in the same position that you. Not knowing if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. But oh, the love of God and the compassion of God should woo you to get that question answered. Don't you want to know? Don't you want that security? Don't you want that serenity to know that heaven is yours and you didn't have to pay a dime for it? Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. Christian, how about it? Why don't you pray now for the tough times that may come down the road? Why don't you pray now for the uncertain circumstances that may come tomorrow or the next day or the next week? Why don't you pray about those things that are unforeseen to you and you trust the Holy God that He would continue to enable you to give? Why don't you trust the promises of God and step out by faith and say, you know, Lord, you said you rebuke the devourer for my sake. Lord, you said you pour out the windows of heaven, that the blessings would be so much that I might not have room to receive them. Why don't you pray to God to keep you faithful, to keep seeing that? But also, why don't you pray that even when you don't see that, you still are faithful. You're still consistent. When you don't see everything that you want to see, that you know that a sovereign God behind the scenes is still working things out. He's still rebuking the devourer for your sake. He's still planning the road for you. He still has everything in proper perspective. And you'd be faithful to give. You know, I read a story this morning about a guy by the name of Elimelech. Many of you would know him. He's the guy that went down into Moab with his wife, Naomi. And he left Judah because there was a famine in the land. When he went down there, he lost his life and he lost his two sons. At the same time, there's another man in Judah. His name was Boaz. And Boaz withstood the same famine that Elimelech ran from. And Boaz prospered in that famine. And Boaz got a godly wife. And Boaz is in the lineage of Christ, along with Ruth. Elimelech and Naomi is just the name of the past. Because he ran from the famine. Sometimes we can't run from the famine. We've got to go through it. And we've got to be faithful to God, counting Him to pour out the blessings. I'm not saying it's always going to be easy. It's never easy for a farmer. But God always blesses. God always blesses. He blessed Boaz for sticking it out. And He can bless in your life too. I don't know what famine you're going through right now. I don't know what tough time, but I know this: God is able. He's willing, and He can meet the need. Father, thank you. Lord, for listening ears and open hearts today. Lord, once again, I lift up the one that is curious about knowing that heaven can be their home. Lord, you would give them the clarity of mind to get it settled today, and others that may be contemplating that same thing. And then, Lord, for Christians, God, keep us faithful when the famines come. Keep us faithful, knowing that the blessings will once again come. Lord, when unforeseen circumstances arise, help us to be continuously faithful. knowing there's a God in heaven that's going to meet our need. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessings. And Lord, help us to see the dividends of the tithe. Brother Hall of you.